little while tonight. Let's pray. Father, we need you tonight, Lord. God, we need the Holy Ghost now. We need you, Father. It's your word, not mine, Lord. And Father, I ask you to give me unction. I ask you to bless your word. I ask you, Father, send it forth, Lord, and let it take root, God. Let it take hold in the hearts of those who need to hear it. And God, we give you glory tonight, Jesus, in thy holy name, Father. Glorify yourself. In thy name we pray. Amen. All right. I'll talk to you tonight about some I wills. I'm going to talk about the I wills of Christ, and I'm going to talk about the I wills of Satan and contrast the two, because they are completely and diametrically opposed one to the other. Satan's over here and Christ is over here. There's nothing common about the two of them. They have nothing in common whatsoever. They're completely different one from another. Look over here in the book of Isaiah chapter number 14, if you would, with me tonight, please, verse number 12. Isaiah chapter number 14 and verse number 12. This is a classic scripture in the Old Testament. It's a reference to the devil. He's called Lucifer here. And we know for certain that that's who it's talking about, because no human being could match what's said about this individual here. In the 14th chapter of Isaiah, in verse 12, here's what it says. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Now watch carefully. For thou hast said in thine heart, and that's what matters, it's what you say in your heart. It's not a bunch of mumbo-jumbo that you may come out of your head and out of your mind, but it's what's coming from your heart. And the Bible says, thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Now here are some of the I wills of Satan. He said, I will ascend. So that means he's going to rise up on his own. He said, I will ascend. I will pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I will rise up and climb up, and I will go up high. I'll go up to where I am something, where people can see me and fall down before me, and they'll worship me. So he said, I will ascend. Now he ascended, but the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ descended. In Philippians 2, it says that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon himself a form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He came down. And because he came down, God raised him back up again. And that's the principle of the Scripture. If you try to ascend or lift yourself up or save yourself or make yourself better or rise up before God, you will fall every time. There's only one that can raise you up. Amen. I want you to notice the second thing. He said, I will exalt. Notice what he said in verse number 13. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. This is arrogance and this is pride. He's bloated by his own sense of self-worth and self-esteem and self-love. And it's all about himself. If you'll notice, I will, I will, I will, I will. And he said, I will exalt. This is what's happening with so many people today. They feel like that they need to be lifted up, and they're missed, and somebody's not paying enough attention to them, and they just don't realize how great they are. You know, they have all this innate ability and all these great gifts and all of this. That's what's destroyed the church. It's sucked the very life out of the church, is people wanting to be patted on the back and recognized for their ability and for their talents and all. The church didn't build on that. The church is built on the gift of God. And the gift of God is given to the Lord, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says of Christ, he said, he made himself of no reputation. Amen. He didn't exalt himself. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Then the devil said, I will sit. I will sit. In plain words, he said, I will achieve what I intend to achieve. I will exalt myself above the stars of God. And once I'm done with it, I will sit down. I will sit down as the ruler of my throne, and they will come and bow before me. That's what Satan said. He said, I will sit down. Now let me tell you something tonight, folks. It takes some folks a long time to learn a simple truth, and that is that there is no rest. There is no rest. No rest except in Christ. The devil thought he could sit down on this throne, but he'll find no rest on it because he won't stay on it. He can't make it. There's only one who deserves the throne. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our rest tonight. The only one that can give you rest from your sin and rest from your burdens and rest from all the godlessness of this world. He'll give you rest. And the book of Hebrews is very, very particular about rest. And the Bible in Hebrews talks about those who never have entered into His rest and cannot enter into His rest because they're trying to do it by the flesh and they're trying to do it by human ability. But the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't enter into the rest of Christ. You just take Christ. Once you take Him, you've got His rest. See what I mean? Everything about the Lord Jesus Christ that He has accomplished and who He is not so much what He does for you, it's who He is to you. Because you receive Him. You receive Him in your heart. You receive the Son of God into your soul. Therefore, He gives you rest. There's one thing that characterizes an unsaved man, and that's a restless spirit. The Bible says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. The Scripture says that they are like the sea that is churning up on the seashore, constantly rolling and boiling, because there's no peace, there's no rest. They are constantly under condemnation and a burden of sin. So He says, I will exalt my throne and then I'll sit down. Well, He never made it. And then finally He said, I will be. Notice He said, I will be like the Most High. Now, my friend, I'll tell you something right now. There's just one God. There's just one. And I don't care how many New Agers you meet who say they're God and all this stuff. There's just one. And I'm going to tell you something about Him. He doesn't have to tell you when He shows up. All He's got to do is show up. And when He shows up, a human being, a creature, cannot stand to be in His presence if they're not born again. But if they are born again, they rejoice because of the presence of the Lord. All He's got to do is show up. All He's got to do is show up. I saw a bumper sticker one time as a New Ager said, I'm God. No, my friend, you don't need to tell Him you're God. No, sir, that almighty eternal being, all He has to do is show up. Once He shows up, every creature in the universe will flee like rats before His face except those who can stand in the light. Amen. You're children of light if you're born again. And He's pure light. Remember that. God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Amen. He's light. Pure light. He's that light back there in Genesis 1 that said, let there be light before the sun ever shone. There was light. And the light of Almighty God was sent out. So He said, I will be. He said He will attain unto the unattainable. Because He could never attain to it. He could never reach to it. He could never pull Himself up to it. And to this very day, people are doing their dead level best to pull themselves up, better their condition, make this world a better place to live in, and they're never going to do it. Now let me give you some of the I wills of Christ. Here's what He said. I'll give you seven of them, and it won't take me long. John chapter number 6 and verse 37. Here's the first I will of the Son of God. Here's what He said. In John chapter number 6 and verse 37, He said, all the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That, thank God, is what happened when I came to Him. He didn't cast me out. A sorry, low-down piece of garbage, and I came to Him, and He didn't cast me out. He received me. I will in no wise cast Him out. Religion wants you to meet its standards, its protocols, its system. It wants you to conform to its religion. Christ simply says, come unto me. Come unto me. It's simple. He makes it as simple as He possibly can. He said, all the Father giveth to me will come to me. And he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. When I try to tell somebody how to be saved, I say this to them. I say, if you want to be saved, if you want to have a relationship with God, it's not about what you can do for God. You can't please Him. It's not about you straightening your life up. It's not about you turning over a new leaf. It's not about you joining some church. Well, what is it, preacher? It's about you reaching up and taking hold of the Son of God with all of your heart and all of your soul and receiving Him in. And in plain words, say, Jesus, I can't make another day without You. I want You. I want You in my heart. I want You in my Savior. I want You to save me, Jesus. I need You, Jesus. And you receive the Son. And the Bible said, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God. So this I will is a good one. He said, I will in no wise cast him out. Somebody said, well, now, preacher, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what sin I've committed. You don't know my background. You don't know where I came from. I don't need to know it. I'm not the Savior. But I know what he said. He said, if any man will come unto me, I will in no wise cast him out. Aren't you glad for that? That's all encompassing. That includes every man. Red man, yellow man, black man, white man, pink man, blue man, green man, gray man. They all come. And they can all be born again. Here's the second I will. Luke 5, verse 12. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He put forth his hand and touched him. A priest could not do that. If the priest had touched the leper, the priest would have been unclean. But you cannot curse Christ. You can curse him with your mouth, and the curse will return on your own head. He is the blessed of God that is blessed forever. Therefore, he can touch the dead body, and there is nothing of corruption that can enter into him, but virtue can go forth from him. And so therefore, he touched the leper. He put forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. Thank the Lord God tonight, for he touched me when I was untouchable and when I was filthy. And he willed that I be made clean. And he made me clean. That's his will. His will is not for you to wallow in self-pity. His will is not for you to carry a burden of sin the rest of your life. Some folks feel good about feeling bad. Did you know that? They do. For some strange reason, they like to go around beating themselves to death all the time. They get some kind of a weird satisfaction out of this constant self-deprecation. But I'm going to tell you right now what the Bible says. The Bible says right there, if the Son make you free indeed. That means it's gone. The Scripture says he cast your sins as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered anymore into the sea of forgetfulness. That's a wonderful thing. I will be thou clean. Hallelujah to God. He cleansed me. Amen. I want you to notice the third I will. Matthew chapter number 10, verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. Will I, or I will, saying the same thing. He just reversed the order. He said, I will confess before my Father, which is in heaven. I like that. Somewhere back in 1973, on a certain day, at a certain place, God the Almighty, that eternal absolute being, heard my name spoken into his ear. And it was spoken by the Son of God. He confessed my name. And when my name was confessed into the ear of the Creator, then my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He will confess your name. And I'm going to tell you right now, if he writes that name in the Lamb's Book of Life and confesses your name into the heart of the Father, it'll stay there forever. Nothing can take that from it. Amen. That's good. If you didn't have that assurance, and if you didn't have that absolute knowledge, knowing that God Almighty holds you up by His power, I'm kept by the power of God. The Apostle Paul said, I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I commit to Him. He's able to keep it. He can keep it. He said, I'm not keeping it. He's keeping it. What? Keeping what? My soul. My salvation. And he said in Romans 8, I'm persuaded that neither life nor death nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. He said, I'll confess his name to my Father which is in heaven. He did confess me. And I confess him. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I despise multiculturalism. I despise political correctness. I despise a culture that puts anything on the same level with the Lord Jesus Christ. I abhor it. I hate it. I despise it. It's a godless thing because the Lord Jesus Christ will share no stage with anything. He's the Lord God Almighty. Now that's the confession that matters. It's to confess that He's Lord. When you say you're confessing Him, you're confessing. You're not saying, well, there was a Jesus that lived 2,000 years ago, a little baby in the manger, how cute he is and all of that. That's not what you confess. You confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And you can't call Him Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And when you're calling Him Lord by the Holy Ghost, you're saying, I know He's Lord. And the Holy Ghost will mark that. You know why God blesses in this house? Because the name of Jesus is exalted. Really, folks, really, it's not my name. My name, I don't mean anything. If you meet me and forget who I am, you haven't lost anything. But if you meet the Lord Jesus and forget who He is, you've lost everything. It's about Him. It's that confession. And He knows who confesses Him. Do you confess Him? Well, everybody's got their own way. Everybody's got their own truth. There's a big mountain, and we're all climbing up that mountain trying to get to the top. Buddhist goes his way. Mohammedan goes his way. Confucian goes his way. No. I am the way, he said, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I confess that tonight. I confess it in a heartbeat. Here's the fourth confession. Matthew chapter number 4, verse 19. He saith to them, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Amen. By the way, a fisher of men in the sight of God is far more important than a builder of buildings or a builder of monuments or a builder of ministries. A fisher of men. He came into the world to seek and save lost ministries. Did I mess up? He came into the world to seek and save and build kingdoms. I messed up again, didn't I? What did He come in the world for? Seek and save that which was lost. Christ didn't die for buildings. He didn't die for ministries. He didn't die for monuments. He didn't die for great men. He died for sinners. The Apostle Paul said, of whom I am chief. That's important, folks. Every one of us tonight should never forget that we're doing this to win men to Christ, to reach them with the gospel, to get the word of God over to them. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's His primary work. When He comes in the world, He'll convince men of sin because they believe not on the Lord Jesus Christ. If we ever lose focus of the fact that the church is here as a lighthouse, a roadmap, the church is here as a way to win men, to lead men, to tell men and women about the Lord Jesus Christ, we're fishers of men. That's what we are. He said, I will make you fishers of men. All of us are that. When you go in the Marine Corps, I don't care if you're a cook. I don't care if you are a truck driver. I don't care what it you do. You go to the rifle range. And you qualify with that rifle. And if you don't qualify that rifle, they kick you out. You don't stay in there. Every last one of them know how to use that weapon. All right? That's the point. It doesn't make any difference if you're a missionary on the foreign field, if you're a pastor of a church, if you're a teacher in a Sunday school, what your job might be in the church. Our first calling is as fishers of men. Every one of us. Not just a preacher. Fishers of men. Amen. Fishers of men. And then number 5. I love this one. And we've got some folks in this house tonight who greatly appreciate this and do need this. John 14:18, He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Amen. That's the Lord coming. He said, I will come to you. Amen. And only God knows. And if you've never been through a time where you've lost somebody dear to you, somebody near to your heart, somebody very close to you that hurts, and it hurts, and it hurts, friends. If you've ever been through it, you know what I'm talking about. It hurts. And it's a different kind of hurt than any other hurt there is. It's a heart hurt. It's a hurt deep down inside. When you lose a husband or a wife, a son or a daughter, a mother, a father, somebody close to you, sister or brother, somebody that you love greatly, you hurt. You grieve. But the Holy Ghost, He said, I will come unto you. Now, the Holy Spirit's the comforter, but the Lord Jesus says, I will come unto you. Amen. You see what that means? The Holy Spirit comes in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, resurrected and glorified. It's not the idea, you know, that, well, you know, we're going to go to heaven one day. No, He's in heaven now. The idea is that the Lord Jesus Christ comes by the power of the Holy Spirit into the heart of the believer, and He makes the reality of where your loved one is right now. He makes it real right now. That's comfort. Listen, how much comfort do you think it is to think that they're laying out here in the ground somewhere, in that cold, hard ground? Is there any comfort in that? Do you think there's any comfort in going to a tomb somewhere and standing? And I understand why people do that. I'm not being critical. in respect and memory and things like that. I'm not being critical one bit, but I'm trying to say to you, they're not there. No comfort in that. They're not there. I know there's some brethren out there that believe the soul sleeps out here in the ground. I don't believe it. I believe if you're gone from here and you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord. I firmly believe that. I firmly believe it. And I believe that transition from the body to the of your spirit, leaving your body and going into the presence of the Lord, is instantaneous. I do. You live in the age now where He has led captivity captive. He's given gifts to men. There is no longer a place like Abraham's bosom where they go to and they stayed there until Christ emptied it. It's not there. It's not like it was. The very moment that you draw your last breath here and your eyes close, the body's eyes closes in death, your eyes open in heaven. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Amen. He said, I will come to you. Number six, I will. He said in John 6, verse 40, this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him hath everlasting life. That's God's will. John wrote his whole gospel that you might believe. And then he said, I will raise him up at the last day. The resurrection is not an event. The resurrection is a person. The Lord Jesus Christ is the resurrection. Wherever He shows up, resurrection takes place. Wherever He is resurrection. Resurrection is a person. Salvation is a person, not an event. The Lord Jesus Christ, He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. This is why He's got to be awful careful. I'm in all respect due to the Lord Jesus, He's got to be careful where He goes. Because everywhere He goes, the dead starts popping up. He's the resurrection. This is why when He comes back to the earth, He comes back to the earth. When He comes back to the earth and He shouts the names of the sons of God, the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's a resurrection. In the Revelation, book of Revelation, chapter number 11, the Bible says a voice comes from heaven and says, come up hither, and those two witnesses, dead bodies have been lying in the streets of Jerusalem for 3 days. All of a sudden, and I believe, and I wouldn't argue with anybody about it, but I believe they're probably decapitated. They've cut their heads off. And their heads are lying in the streets. And their heads lying in the street here. And there's their body. The Bible says they're making merry and giving gifts. They're having a time because these two witnesses had driven them insane because they couldn't touch them. They couldn't do a thing with them. They were prophesying. Who they are, I don't know. Moses and Enoch and Elijah. Who knows who they are? There's no big deal about who they are. But the bottom line is this. He says plainly in Revelation 11, come up hither. And when He says come up hither, those heads pop back on those bodies. And a mid-tribulation rapture takes place. Not only do those two saints come up, but up from the ground comes a mid-tribulation rapture. A mid-tribulation rapture. Right in the middle of the tribulation. Why? Because the Lord showed up. Every time He shows up, the graves start popping open. Amen. He's the resurrection. And the life. And then finally, in John chapter number 17, verse 24. John 17, 24. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. He wants us to see His glory. We had a preview of it, the Mount of Transfiguration. When the Lord Jesus Christ began to shine brighter than the sun. When Adam and Eve were first made, and God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, He took Eve from his side. He took a rib and formed the woman. He did not cover them with anything. He didn't need to. They had a covering of glory. They were covered in light. They were covered in light. When they sinned, the light faded away and they began to see themselves in a different light. Then they covered themselves with fig leaves. They had a head full of knowledge and an empty heart. They had learned something that could only condemn them. That restoration of that glory, of that light, is what He's going to do for us. if he does give us anywhere near the kind of glory that he has, then there's no need of any sons up there. For the Son, that's us, the sons of God, will shine brighter than any sun. And that's what the Bible says. It says that we're going to shine forth in the kingdom of our Father. We are children of light, not children of darkness. Just the contrary to the unsaved. We go up as children of light with a glory that is the glory of the Son of God. Now, light blinds if you're not prepared for it. Too much light will blind you. This is, you've seen people wear these blinders up in the snow place. They wear these real fine things. The reason they do that is because all that snow would blind you with the sun shining on it. So if you are not prepared for that light, it would blind you, but it won't blind us because we're children of the light. But just the opposite is true of the unsaved. They go into eternal darkness. Eternal darkness. Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. He said, Father, I want them to behold my glory. Now we're going to see it. It hadn't all been manifested. That was just a preview at the top of the Mount of Transfiguration. Just a preview. Revelation chapter number 1 said his hair was white as snow. His eyes as a flame of fire. His whole countenance, the Bible said, was shining as the noonday sun. And said he had on his vesture and he had on his thigh. And he was dressed like that Daniel chapter number 7, I believe it is. If you go back in Daniel, you'll see one who's the Ancient of Days with a white hair. Well, that's what he looked like in the book of Revelation. That's glory. You see, he doesn't have all the tearing of the flesh and with the blood running down his face, with a crown of thorns rammed down on his forehead, the Lamb of God giving himself up for the sacrifice of man's sins. That's not what he's going to look like. He'll be glorified. That's what God intends to do. That's what it was about to begin with. It was to take a creature of dirt and raise him up and make him a child of light. Sunday morning I preached to you how that God stood on earth. He stood on the dirt. There was no man on the face of this earth. Nobody had any idea what a man was, for nobody had ever seen a man. And God formed the body of a man from the dirt. Then he breathed life into that body and he became a living soul. If man had not written, carved, built, and left any kind of a mark on this earth, man would return to the dirt from whence he came and there would be no record that he even existed. You follow me? It's when God intervenes and takes that child of dirt that came from the dirt. That's where we came from. We didn't come from above. We came from the dirt. And he takes that child of the dirt and he saves him. And then he elevates him out of this world into the presence of the Creator. And what he gives him, everything he does for the one that he is born again, comes from above. His spirit comes from above. His new birth comes from above. His life comes from above. His image comes from above. His future comes from above. His home comes from above. His Lord comes from above. That one that is born again, the only thing that you have that came from beneath is that body you're in. And that body you're in is going back to the ground from whence it came. One day I'll say, goodbye, body. Appreciate it. Did the best job you could. See you later, alligator. I'm gone into the presence of God. I know that tonight as sure as I know I'm born again. I know what happened to me in 1973. I know what the new birth is. That is going to be, for the believer, that'll be the greatest day in your life. It'll be the day that you say goodbye to this flesh and you put on glory and you're robed with robes of righteousness and you sail into the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. This is why the Apostle Paul, now I'll read this and I'll shut up. But when I get into this, I get excited about it. And the reason I do is because it's such a powerful thing. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, this. Now, how many of you folks in here tonight have finally got it settled that this is temporal? All right, take good care of it. Take the best care of it you can. But it's not going to last but so long. And some folks, it doesn't last as long as others. Some folks tell you the truth about get a bum deal when it comes to the body. They do. Little children dying, teenagers dying, young people dying with cancer. They get a bum deal. Other folks live up until their 90s and even centenarians, 100 years. So it's not all the same. It's not fair, is it? You know why it's not, don't you? The body came from the curse. Okay, that's why. The body is connected with the curse. All right. For we know that if our earthly house or this tabernacle were dissolved, what's that mean? That means you go back to the dust. We have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now watch carefully what the apostle is saying. Don't jump to conclusions. That's not your glorified body. That's a place where you go to when your soul and spirit leave here. Because you don't want to be a spirit out here floating around, do you? You want some substance, right? These demons are spirit beings. They didn't want to be cast out into the abyss. They said, suffer us not to be cast into the abyss. So they went into the bodies of the swine. They wanted a body. It's called a disembodied spirit. See? The essence is real. The spirit's a real being, but it doesn't have a body. You are a spirit being. You're in a body right now. All right. When you leave this world, you want a place to go to until that body comes up out of the ground. Remember, 1 Corinthians 15. Did not the Apostle Paul say, that which is sown in dishonor is raised in honor? That which is sown a terrestrial body is raised a celestial body. Your glorified body does not come from above. It comes from beneath, out of the ground. That's reason for that is a mark of victory. Okay. But the person who's dying here in 2 Corinthians 5 is not going up there to the body that's coming up out of the ground. That hadn't happened yet. They're going to an abode that God made with His hands. Now watch this. Watch the wording carefully. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. We don't want to be out there. We don't want to be up with nobody, see? For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. So what that means is that He has an abode for you that He made for your spirit. So what is it? Well, it may be some kind of a body. But it's not your glorified eternal body. You get that at the rapture. You get that when He comes from heaven and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And they that sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. Now think about it for a minute. Who's sleeping in Jesus? The dead in Christ. Who's rising first? Dead in Christ. What's going on? See? Don't get confused. The person, the essence of the individual that's a spirit being is asleep in Jesus. But the dead in Christ shall rise first in the sense that up from the ground comes a glorified body to be united with a spirit. And then, body, soul, and spirit united eternally and completely in the presence of the Lord God. Then shall our life be revealed. The Bible says your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. Satan doesn't know where to put his hand on your life. He doesn't understand your life, number one, and number two, he can't see it. It's hidden with Christ in God. But when you come out of heaven and your body comes up from the ground and body, soul, and spirit come together and you come together as a glorified being, body, soul, and spirit, then you will be manifested as a son of God and your life and your light will shine forth and you look at Satan eyeball to eyeball and he cannot touch you. He can't touch you. You're a child of God that's glorified in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He can't touch you. Your life is manifested then. That's why the Bible says in the book of Romans that we're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. See what I mean? So if you leave tonight, or if we leave in the morning, or if we leave tomorrow night, they'll take our body and they'll put it in the ground, but they will not put me in the ground. I will go on to glory, into an abode that God has made for me with His own hands, and there I will abide until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for His bride. And when He comes for His bride, I'll come with Him. And when He comes with His bride, from the ground will rise a body. And I'm sure I'll be happy with it. I've looked at this one here, and I'll tell you right now, anything He wants to pull up out of the ground will be a whole lot better looking than what I'm in right now. I'm sure I'll be happy with it. Amen. Not only that, but the body that comes up out of the ground is eternal. Get a hold of that now. An eternal body. How many of you in here this morning, tonight, know that your spirit is eternal? You know something's real inside you. You do, don't you? You know it's real. You know it's firm. You know it's real. You do. You know that it didn't come from here. You know you love God. You have a connection with Him that you didn't get here. All right. But you still need your body to be full and complete. And a glorified body is what we're waiting for. And we'll have it. We'll have it at the day, at the time. And of course, there again, when Christ shows up, graves start popping open because He's the resurrection. Father, in Thy name we pray. Use what I've said tonight, Lord. Bless the folks. Help them. Help us, Lord, with Your Word. Encourage us through Scripture, Heavenly Father. Through Your Word, Holy One. We believe the Bible. I believe the Word. Lord God, I believe it. Now, my Father, tonight, if there be in this house that don't believe it, or they're not born again, they're not saved, they don't know You, then, Father, tonight I say to them, as You said, all the Father giveth to Me will come to Me, and if any man comes unto Me, I will in no wise cast him out. We give that offer of salvation. If there's someone who wants to be born again tonight, they're assured, if they want to be, they can be, that He won't turn them away. What a wonderful promise that is. What a blessedness. What a blessed promise. Hallelujah to God. He will not turn them away. My, what an encouragement. In Jesus' name we pray. Heads are bowed. Nobody looking. Anybody raise your hand tonight and say, preacher, I'd like to be born again. I'd like to be saved. All right. The man raised his hand right there. Anybody else raise your hand and say, I want to be saved, preacher. Or I'm not sure if I am saved. You can be, folks. This salvation is not a hope-so thing. You can be absolutely certain that you're born again. The Bible said we know that we've passed from death into life. We're not hope that we have. We know we have. Would you like to come down here to the front? Let us open the Bible and pray with you. You can leave out of here a child of God tonight. Amen. I'm going to get down here and pray with this man. Anybody like to gather with me around down here in the front? If you'd like to come down here and pray for somebody, you got a burden tonight, you got a need from God, you'd like to come down here and pray for somebody sick, pray for somebody who's got cancer, pray for somebody that's hurting tonight, why, you can come on down here. We'll pray. I want to talk to this man right here, though. I want to talk to him about something. I'm going to open the Bible. You've done what the Lord said.